I'm often reminded, there's a song, but also just the scripture that says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. It's great to be with you worshiping, and just such a, really, seriously, you guys are, love you guys as a congregation. So we are finishing up Joel, but in here, just with Joel, it's been amazing how relevant, I mean, we knew some relevance, but still, just how the tie-ins with even stuff that we're going on today in Joel, just devastation and all these things, and then what's God's plan for restoration, and really, I mean, I just can't not talk about, just start off as say, not only do we have the coronavirus and that, but now we have something that's been unprecedented in my lifetime, you know, this whole Russia and the Ukraine. And when we think of Joel and that is, I mean, when you're thinking about those prayers, think of, I mean, again, that some of those people are experiencing the devastation that's going on, the type of stuff in Joel, they're experiencing it right now, right now. So I think it's just very timely that we're going through this. And in your prayers and in everything else, I just say, hey, let's keep that in mind. Let's keep that in mind in everything that we've referenced here in the book of Joel. But here's what I do want to say. I don't know how it's going to happen there. I don't know what God has in plan for his people there. And by the way, we have churches over there. We have missionaries over there. So I was watching a video that was posted by one of our people have churches, and you could hear bombs going off in the background there in their house, pastors of one of our churches in Ukraine. So the thing is, stuff's going on over there, but the thing is here's what I do know, is that God does want to bring justice. I tell you, God is a God of justice. He's a God of justice. And that's really what we're talking about today. The title of the message I have is, Does God Bring Justice? And even though I can't tell you how, what justice is going to happen or what's, I can't predict the future for the Ukraine or Russia or even the rest of whoever else in the world gets involved in this. But what I do know is we do serve a God of justice. So as we've gone through this this progression, bad things happen. We'll just leave it there. Bad things happen. People turn to God, but then that God brings restoration. That's a huge theme in Joel. That's one of the main themes of Joel, is God brings restoration. God brings restoration to those things. And it was interesting, God, it says that not only did God bring restore, but he restored in full. He restored in full. But God, after he restores us, he then gives us even more. It's Anya's favorite word, more. He gives us even more. He gives us more. He gives us his spirit. Unprecedented that a God would come and live inside of his people. He gives us his spirit. He gives us his spirit. But then there's even more. God brings justice. God brings justice. And I'm going to run through a little thing here. It's the best I could do to try and bring justice, the difference between these things, into modern day sense. So let's just say, imagine you're renting a rundown house that landlord won't keep up on the repairs. Okay? It's fallen apart. There's holes, there's leaking roofs, nothing happens. The electrical's bad. They know it. You have smoke coming out of outlets, but the landlord does nothing. And eventually catches on fire and it burns down. Okay. So because the house you lived in burnt down, that insurance company puts you up in a hotel and then finds you another place. Brand new built place same rent and everything else. Brand new place. The insurance company finds you there. That's restoration. You got restored. And not only did you get restored, but you got restored in full and maybe even a better place. That's restoration. But now, because the house you lived in burns down, there's a government program that then pays for you to go through college 100% so that you can better your life. There we have, that's more like the Spirit being poured out upon us to give us the opportunities to do things that we couldn't otherwise do. So, but things seem great. A lot of us would be like, oh, that's awesome. But we still have this landlord. What happens to him? Does he just go on and rent another place and not keep it up and have it burned down on someone else? You know, the insurance builds him a new house, probably. Is there justice in that situation? Not quite. Not quite. Yeah, you're right. Not quite. Now, if we come along and the city fines him substantially and maybe even sets up a program to monitor his buildings for a short period of time, then we have justice. Then we have justice. So because a lot of these things, we can think of them as all the same, but they all have their own little different things. Restoration and him pouring out his Spirit upon us and justice all look similar in some ways, but they have differences. So today, we're going to talk about that. You know, God is a God of justice and restoration. So today, as we finish the series, I want to make it clear that God does bring justice for his people. God does bring justice for his people. And I'll tell you, I don't know that you're going to leave this knowing how that's going to happen. In fact, you probably won't. You probably won't leave going, oh, I know exactly how God's going to bring justice in my life, how God's going to bring justice for my friends, how God's going to bring justice for what I see going on in the world. I don't think we're going to leave here doing that. But what I can tell you is that I know that God brings justice. So here, if we look at Joel, what was the injustice that was happening? Since now, when I started the first message, I mentioned that there wasn't a list of sins. But there wasn't a list of sins for God's people in the book of Joel. There is a list of sins, but it's for those people who've done bad to the Judeans. And here's what was happening. It says, they scattered my people among the nations. And you can find this all in chapter 3, but it's between several paragraphs. So I just took it out. So, scattered my people among the nations and divided up my land. They cast lots for my people, basically gambled for my people, and traded boys for prostitutes. They sold girls for wine and drink, and most likely into prostitution also. It says, for you took my silver and my gold and carried off my finest treasures to your temples of other gods. Your temples of other gods. Again, we've already seen such sort of repeats itself about slavery, but you sold the people of Judah and Jerusalem to the Greeks that you might send them far from their homeland. So there was some pretty bad stuff going on. Pretty bad stuff. There's things that besides their homes and their crops and everything else that needed to be restored, they had some other stuff going on too. There was some justice that needed to happen. There were bad things that were happening to them beyond what just happened to the land. So I just want to ask you, what do you think, what are some things you think God wants to bring justice to today? Let's open here. What are some things you think God wants to bring justice to today? The homeless situation, yeah. Yeah. Sex slavery. And so again, even some of the stuff that was happening here, still happening today, sex trafficking. Yeah. Victims of abuse. Yes, absolutely. A lot of injustice there. Yeah, poverty, hunger, Ukraine. Come on, we probably keep going. We'll get a few more. Yeah, alcohol, struggles with addictions, different addictions. Yeah, abortion, not valuing life. We could go on and on and on. On and on and on. There's justice that needs to happen. And basically the only thing I had on my list, I made a list just in case. You guys did great. Again, because that's actually what we wanted. I'm actually happy because we were hoping the congregation, we would stop and look, if we remember back, and say, God, what is it that's going on around me? What are the injustice? What are the things? Where is the devastation of sin around us? So the fact that you're seeing that, knowing that, that's great, because you can't always fix problems, do anything about a problem if you don't see it. The only thing that wasn't mentioned on there, and Anya brought up in her message, was the environment. There's all types of devastation with the environment going on. So all types of stuff there. So that's the only thing I had on my list that you guys didn't bring up. But I want to bring up a few things about God's justice. A few things about God's justice. One thing about that is that we're often the ones, and I'll talk more about this a little later, we're often the ones that God has helped to bring that justice. So I'll just tell you, there's a change in the language here. So who remembers the army of locusts? Whose army was that? Do you remember? Anyone remember? It was God's army. Yeah, so God actually brought some of that devastation to the land. And again, we're not going to re-preach that message. So if you go back on Facebook and watch that if you want to hear what is that? God brought the devastation? But the army was God's, was the locusts and other things. So here we see a switch where it's starting to talk about armies, but it's referring to the Judeans. So we see a little switch in language where it's the people that Joel's being written to are now being talked about. So there is some sense, and I can't tell you exactly what God was saying. I'm not sure in that, but there's something there to say that we end up taking a part in bringing that justice where there's injustice. So that's the first thing I just want to say. I have a little more to say about that then, but the other thing is, I'll tell you, justice often takes time. So as we're looking at this, and, I can't explain it, but many of the events, if we look at this in Joel, many of the events that took place, like even the outpouring of the Spirit, that was 400 years. Basically 400 years, give or take a little. 400 years. So sometimes the justice, even when God says, I'm going to bring justice, it doesn't happen in the time that we want it to happen. And I think often that's even especially for our culture, our Amazon Prime culture. I'm telling you, there's a place right there. I go to order sometimes stuff and it'll say, do you want it today for free? Well, yeah. I mean, so especially I think in our culture, we have a hard time understanding these things taking a process and a time. And why they take time, I can't answer you fully, but we could probably do a whole sermon series on just that question and give you some answers. But the reality is sometimes it takes time. So two things. We're often called to be part of that justice, the answer. And then justice often takes time. It's not just we do one thing, one prayer, and all of a sudden everything's better. So a takeaway here from Joel that I think is absolutely important, absolutely important. It's sort of mixed in a little about the main point, but you can't go through this section of Joel without hitting it, is that God is a God of justice and restoration, but God brings justice for us because we are His. Because we are His. Joel 3:17 says, "Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. So Jerusalem will be holy and strangers will pass through it no more." You see that? This is after all this happens, all this stuff happens. It says, "Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." God cares about His people. Amen. The interesting thing when we look into this is it's pretty clear that not necessarily as a whole, but this happens just anywhere when you look at injustice, that many of the crimes that are being judged, God's people also participated in. So it's interesting here. We'll look at Joel 3:21, because in relation to that says, "I will pardon my people's," again, my people's crimes, "which I have not yet pardoned, and I, the Lord, will make my home in Jerusalem and my people. So this should be encouraging. This should be encouraging, because you know what? I am not perfect. I mess up. In fact, I printed up two cards today. Both cards today that got printed up have wrong dates on them. I am not perfect. I'm not perfect. Now, is that the type of sin that we're talking about here? But the fact that there is something amazing that because we are his, he is willing to pardon us for those things. One of the primary things I see that keeps God's people from doing what God wants them to do is shame. They don't feel worthy. God's telling you, go talk to your neighbor, and I'm not worthy. God's telling you to pray for your children. You know, children sick, and I'm not worthy. God's telling you to go and go a certain place, or maybe even God's calling you to the ministry, like to preach, and people say, I'm not worthy. This is amazing. When you're called of God, when you're one of God's people, he is willing to pardon his people's crimes. And to miss that in the midst of all this, talking about justice, I just can't, you know, we had 5 weeks to do this, so this probably could have been a message on itself, but I just can't pass that up. That's powerful to me to think that God does that. So as I said earlier, we are often the ones that bring about justice. Let's look at that closer. This is talking about more than war, more than creating more devastation. So if we go and do war, aren't we just creating more devastation, more of the problem that was already there? Or an eye for an eye. And even what's talked about here sounds like eye for an eye language. And you know what? Actually, it is eye for an eye language. There's passage in there that says they did this, and so I'm going to do the same to them. So there is eye for an eye language. But there's something that happened again. What are we talking about? You know, 400 years later, we had Jesus come. We had a new covenant. And Jesus says something a little different. Yeah. Matthew 5, 38 through 42. You have heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. If you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Give to those who ask, and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. There's some tough words there. There's some tough words there.
This isn't Joel.
Kelly's like, no, I don't want Joel. Yeah, this isn't Joel. Yeah, what are you talking about? We're supposed to be in Joel, right? Yeah, not Matthew. So the thing is, but that doesn't mean that there's not justice. It doesn't mean that there's not justice. It's just that in the New Testament, under the New Covenant, justice often happens differently. And I think better. Better. I think the old sense of justice helps promote bitterness that just eats away and eats away. Even after there's justice, you still feel, without the challenge for forgiveness, you just still eats away at you and eats away. So, let me ask you this. I know if you spit this out, you'll know exactly where I'm going. Is our battle against other people as Christians?
No.
Who's it against?
Principalities and powers.
Yes, I knew a few people would probably spit that out. Thing is, we often get caught up in fighting battles the wrong way. When we're looking for justice, we often get caught up fighting the battles the wrong way. By the way, I maybe should have incorporated one of the scriptures, but because it's all over the fact that, you know, that's God's thing to bring justice, not ours. So we can participate with God in bringing it, but it's God's the one who brings justice, not us. But we can get often caught up in fighting battles the wrong way. So Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, does this mean that we don't do anything, that we just leave it to God? Maybe. Depends on what it is. What it does mean is that we start turning to God. We start turning to God for the answer. So from there, God may lead and empower you to go do something. And I'll just tell you, just like maybe even a little promotion of what we do here as a church, one of our main folks outreach, but I did not want to go feed the homeless. And most of you have heard me talk about this. I'm like, God just kept working on my heart, and God just kept driving home from work, seeing homeless people, and God finally spoke to me in a way that I could just jump behind it, and just, it's been powerful, powerful ministry to go and outreach, doing the outreach to the homeless. But again, that wasn't just me doing it. God moved me in just an amazing, miraculous way to go and do that. So we can bring justice for injustice, but we need to do it under that power, as Kelly talked about last week, the Holy Spirit, and that even the gifts of the Spirit are really to build up the church specifically, but I believe even the rest of the world. God has given his gifts to us, not so we can run around and get all blessed. And I'm not saying God doesn't want to do that, but it's so we can turn those around. We can turn those around and do these and bring the justice to the injustice. So the thing is it starts with prayer and surrendering to God. That's where it starts. We want to do the spiritual battle. That's where it starts. Prayer and surrendering to God. So another thing that this does here, just not having put in the battle there, and I'll tell you, because I talked about the bitterness eating away at us, is this method actually helps us to forgive others. Helps us to forgive others. When we truly realize that our battle is not against you and you and you, but our battles are in the spiritual realm. I'm not saying that automatically makes it all better, but it makes it much easier to realize that, oh, there's things going on that I can't see, and there's things that are going on. And the best thing I could think of, the best way to talk about it is my wife and I have had several foster children that we've taken care of. Sometimes understanding that there was something else going on made a big difference. That when they're getting angry at me, it's not because of what I'm doing. It's because of things that would have been going on at home, or because of things, wrongs that have happened to them. So it's just a powerful thing to be able to do that. And then if you can, which my wife and I did, sometimes struggle, because you get kids want to be kids, and that can be hard. But we would go and just take the time and work through it, and try and work through even what their family of origin problems were, and try and work through that and understand that, one kid we had, I don't think mom ever made him do homework, ever. And so we came along and we made sure he did homework. Guess what? That caused some problems. Trust me, he fought and fought and fought. But we just stood and we didn't take it personal as much as the struggle was real. Trust me, it was real. But guess what? We came through and got where the homework was being done, and without all the struggle. But we had to understand that our struggle wasn't with him. Struggle is with his family of origin, all the way things that had happened to him and his upbringing. And so when we can take ourselves out of that, out of the he said this to me or he did that to me, and understand that there's something bigger going on, It's a powerful thing when we're trying to move forward and bring justice to the injustice. So, we need to take the battle where it belongs. Anyone remember what Kelly had a call to us? Called to us a few weeks ago. Anyone remember what it was? Joel says to blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Declare a holy fast and a sacred assembly. A time where people came and repented and sought God and asked him and sought his face. And I believe looked to direction on where do we go from here. Well, Kelly said we're going to do it. We've talked about it. But we are going to be, for the next 7 weeks, we are going to be having a time that we're going to be doing that right here every Saturday, 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. It starts this Friday. And we're going to do that. There's some topics that we're going to be covering. We're going to be covering those. So I really, as a church, we want to come and just cry out to God for all the devastation that's happened all around us. Just, I was sharing earlier, but just in the, when we were out Friday, out on the cut, feeding the homeless, we show up and people came up to us and said, there's someone ODing right now. And if I had the information right, after talking to people, first of all, we went and we prayed. We just started to pray right away. There were enough people around. It's like, okay, we go over there, but we just started to pray. And then quickly, within a minute or two, the fire truck was pulling up. But here, this guy was, from my understanding, I think they'd given him Narcan, 4 or 5 doses of it, and still was stopping breathing. And of course, the EMTs came, and they were able to take care of it. I'm assuming giving more and more Narcan, but we're just talking. There's devastation going on. There's problems going on in our land. We need to be seeking God. And I just tell you, even if you can't make it to this, I'd ask you between now and Easter, just set aside time. We're calling a fast. Again, we will talk more about as we go through Lent, what we want to do, just what that might look like. But I'm telling you, set aside time to seek God about these things. So, just a few questions. Does God bring justice?
Yes.
Yes. May not be in our timing or our way we understand it, but he does. And do you believe we're given part of the responsibility to bring justice to the land? Yes. I just want you to take time. Just as during this last time, and I'd say go home, just take time to pray through those things. Discernment, just wanting to know what is it that God has for me, for the world. What is it that God has? Repentance, just, you know, what have I done wrong? Or even you can repent for other people, for the what sins of the world, things that are going on in the rest of the world. Pray for restoration of the people who are devastated. An empowerment of the church in a mighty way. Again, those gifts of the Spirit, they can be awesome, but they were given for a reason. They were given for a reason. Let's use them for the reason they were given. Bring justice. Pray for deliverance. And to lament and actually take the time to feel what other people are going through. Try and step in their shoes so we can better understand them. With that, Lord, I just pray, really, I pray for that empowerment of your Spirit, even to fully grasp what you have for us out of this book of Joel. I just pray that everyone be able to go home and that you would just minister to them throughout this week and actually throughout this whole time of Lent that's coming up. Amen.